Happy Sabbath, church. Oh, you sound great again this new year. May God's blessings be upon you. What does God have in store for us corporately and you individually in this new year? Good question, huh? Certainly some exciting things. Well, communion, what we partake of now, is always a what we call a high Sabbath, which when we say high Sabbath, that just means a very special Sabbath, a very blessed Sabbath. When we partake of the emblems of Christ's broken body and spilt blood. Of course, we don't believe that he became those emblems, but they certainly are a fit representation of his perfect life and sacrificial death for us. We do this every quarter. The Bible just says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. So it doesn't say how often you should do it. We chose every quarter. We thought, well, every week's a little too much, kind of gets too commonplace. And if we did it every 6 months, it didn't seem like enough. So anyway, right now it's once a quarter. And again, that's not due to anything scriptural per se. This service is different in at least five ways from our normal service. And those of you that come regularly to communion understand those, but I want to share for those that are new here. First of all, I have a homily today. It's a very shortened version of the scriptures, 12 minutes long. And normally we're in the Word and it's longer, but today is a little different because we have the other parts of the service. We also have, after the homily, I have a prayer. We go out these doors and out to foot washing. And in your bulletin, it tells you which room to go, if it's men with men, women with women, or families. And so you have that noted there. So that's the second difference. And while we're out doing the foot washing, in here, a children's story is going on. And I believe Tubi is doing that today. And so thank you, Tubi, for doing that. So the children will be in here. We're preparing our hearts there by partaking of the foot washing. If you came and you're like, I wasn't really ready for foot washing, you can stay right here. But we do ask that you prepare your hearts as we partake of the communion soon to come. And then, of course, that is the fourth difference, which is communion. We come back in and we partake of the beautiful symbolic emblems of Christ's broken body or body given for us and his spilt blood. You do not have to be a member to partake of the emblems, but you don't want to be partaking unworthily, right? So you need to know what these things mean that you're doing. And so we'd love for you, member or not, to partake with us when we come back. Lastly, this service that we do quarterly is the only one where we have an offering. Well, actually now we do have another offering for Sierra Leone Mission, but generally we don't take offerings at the back at the end, but we do on this service. All right, well, with all that said, Christ wanted nothing more than to eat the Lord's Supper with his disciples before he would go to the cross. He had important lessons for them that they would need before he would be coming, before he would be leaving. And these lessons are for us before he will be coming. Luke says this, that when the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you that I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Wow. It was that important to Christ to eat it with them because he wouldn't be eating it again, of course, until it was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup, he gave thanks and he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God come. And when he had taken some of the bread and given thanks, he broke it and said to them, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Very important to understand the new covenant. It is the essence of not our promises to God, right? This is New Year's, right? We make many resolutions. I ate too much and I need to go on a diet and all kinds of other resolutions, right? But our religion is not so much based on our promises to God as it is his promises to us. Come on and say amen. His track record is perfect. Our track record, not so much, right? So that's what the new covenant essence is. It's a heart religion. Religion is not hard so much as it is a heart matter. So Christ wants to write his beautiful law on our hearts that we might do the things that please him. This, every time we take communion, we're to remember the new covenant sealed in by or through his blood. His blood sealed the deal. In Christ, type met antitype, right? He became the great offering for sins. In the Old Testament, the lamb must be spotless and without blemish, and this Christ fulfilled in his perfect life. Behold him, friends, despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Oh, as the song says, Paulo, were you there when they crucified my Lord? The truth is, we were. In essence, our sins were there. That's what he was suffering for. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. Behold Christ in Gethsemane, the full Passover moon shining through a cloudless sky. And there he was, prostrate upon the ground on his face, suffering intensely for your sins and mine. There was Christ bearing the immense weight of the accumulated sins of the ages. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced through for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray and turned to our own way. And the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall upon him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was crushed for the sins of the entire world. In fact, not one saint or sinner eats his daily food, but he is nourished by the body and blood of Christ. The cross is stamped on every loaf. It is reflected in every water spring. Behold him contemplating the price to be paid for the human soul. From his lips come the bitter cry, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, even now he adds, Nevertheless, not my will, but as thou will. God suffered with his son, my friends. Corinthians says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Angels were there, beholding the Savior's agony. They saw their Lord enclosed by legions of satanic forces, his nature weighed down with a shuddering, mysterious dread. There was silence in heaven. No harp was touched. Could mortals have viewed the amazement with which the angelic host, as in silent grief, they watched the Father separating his beams of light and love and glory from his beloved Son? They would, we would better understand how offensive is sin in his sight. And yet through it all, Christ was thinking about you, my friend. He was thinking about you. What sustained the Son of God in his betrayal and trial? he saw of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. He caught a view of the expanse of eternity and saw the happiness of those who through his humiliation should receive pardon and everlasting life. That's you. He saw you. He looked down through the ages. He saw the suffering. He measured that. He measured the happiness of you in heaven. And he said, I want you in heaven. I will go through this suffering for it. His ear caught the shout of the redeemed. He heard the ransomed one singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. The spotless Son of God hung upon the cross, his flesh lacerated with stripes, those hands that so often reached out in blessing, nailed to the wooden bars, those feet so tireless on ministries of love, spiked to the tree, that royal head pierced by a crown of thorns, those quivering lips shaped to the cry of woe. And all that he endured, the blood drops that flowed from his head, his hands, his feet, the agony that racked his frame, and the unutterable anguish that filled his soul at the hiding of the Father's face. All this speaks to each child of humanity. Are you a child of humanity today? Raise your hand. Okay, then this is for you. What about the rest of you? What are you? Right? This is for all of us. This is my point. This speaks to each child of humanity declaring, it is for you that the Son of God consents to bear this burden of guilt. For you, he spoils the domain of death and opens the gates of paradise. He who stilled the angry waves and walked the foam-capped billows, who made devils tremble and disease flee, who opened blind eyes and called the deaf to life, offers himself upon the cross as a sacrifice, and this from love to you. He, the sin-bearer, endures the wrath of divine justice. For your sake, he becomes sin itself. And this is very practical, friends, as we're closing here before we go off to communion. Our Lord says, when oppressed and afflicted for my sake and the gospel's, remember my love. That love is so great that I gave my life for you. When your duties appear hard, anybody got some hard duties out there? When your burden's too heavy to bear, does it ever feel like that to you? Remember that for your sake, I endured the cross, despising the shame. And your Redeemer lives, ever lives, to make intercession for you. He's praying for you even now in the heavens. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, indeed, Father, what great love would cause you to allow your only beloved, the one who is a very part of you, to come down all the way down to humanity, and not just to humanity, but to death. And not just death, but the death of the cross. Not just painful, but the death in which all men thought that he was written off from you, Holy Father. Oh, what a sacrifice made on our behalf. It's the great exchange. We get your righteousness. You took our sins. And today we celebrate that fact. It's the essence of what Christianity is all about, that you love us so much that you gave your only begotten Son. And now we want the Holy Spirit to write that experience on our hearts, that we might be so appreciative of what has been done for us, that we might live lives not for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. As we go now to the foot washing service, prepare our hearts. Wash anything away that might be between us and others and between us and you. And make us new as we come back to partake of the emblems of the body that was given for us and the blood that was spilt. Oh, what a precious thought today that we can enjoy what was done for us at Calvary and yet at the same time shed tears because you thought that we were and are so precious. So we thank you for it. Be with us now as we go to the foot washing time, and those that stay behind here and listen to the children's story, may we all prepare our hearts to come back to the communion table and rejoice in what has been done for us and to proclaim the Lord's death till he come. We thank you in Christ's holy name. Amen.